in Luke chapter 19, and I'll read verses 28 through 40. Luke chapter 19, reading verse 28 through 40. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And when it came to pass, when he was come nigh unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount of called the Olivet, Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and as we consider the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem at this occasion, which we call Palm Sunday, for the hosannas that were given unto the Lord and the glory and the praise which was given unto him. Lord, we do thank you that the Lord Jesus made his entry in the fulfillment of the word of God, that he may also go on unto the cross. And though he would be humiliated, and though he would suffer much, yet it would be for our sins and our transgressions. And Lord, we are thankful that you provided the means of eternal redemption for us through your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this morning, Lord, that we may also remember to lift up our voices in praise to him for the great work of salvation, the true captain of our salvation, that in Christ Jesus we have hope of eternal life, knowing that Christ has won the victory for us through his own death and suffering, and through his resurrection upon the third day, according to the Scriptures. We bless his name today and give glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to look at this passage this morning and focus on verse 40 in particular, and that's where I've taken the title of the message for this morning. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these stones should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And so it is the title of the message, simply, Lest the Rocks Cry Out. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, of course, that is familiar to you. It is the doxology which has often been used and traditional doxology in the church, and it speaks of praises unto God. Praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We would like to focus upon those praises today as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ and his entry into the city of Jerusalem. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this, and I'll quote briefly, "In the Bible, it is God who is especially brought before us as the object of praise. His whole creation praises him, from the angels of heaven to those lower in existence that are unconscious or even inanimate." Unquote. You see, God is the true subject of our praise. And our highest goal is that we might praise and glorify God. And so it is that we find that the subject of praise is a very prominent subject, especially in the Bible as it relates to the Psalms and other like passages which do praise God and glorify God, and that Jesus should be praised as he comes into the city of Jerusalem, that he may be hailed as that one prophetically to come, the true Messiah of God. In Psalm 103, verse 20 to 22, "Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Such are the praises that need to be given to God, and that those praises may truly cause us to consider that Jesus is worthy to be praised. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we read these words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 5 and verses 11 through 13. "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.'" We ought to praise God. We ought to give thanks to the Lord and lift up our voices often in praise. For God is to be praised. All of his creation is said to praise him, whether they are angels or they are even the inanimate creation of God. The psalmist says that all things are to praise him. Jesus came in the fulfillment of the very words of God that he might be praised upon that day that he entered into the city of Jerusalem. The outline this morning goes like this. First of all, we should praise the Lord, for his name means Jehovah is salvation. We should praise him for the salvation that he came to bring to the hearts of men. Secondly, we should praise the Lord because they rejoice, saying, "Blessed be the King." And so he came as that one who should be hailed as the true Messiah of God. And thirdly, we should praise the Lord because he is Lord and Master, worthy to be praised. He is Lord and Master, worthy to be praised. Praise him because Jehovah saves. Praise him because he came as the true Messiah of God, the true anointed of God. Praise him because he is worthy to be praised. Those are the three areas we will look at this morning. If all his created hosts in heaven and in earth praise him, then we also, as most precious in his sight, created in his image and his likeness, ought to praise him. Yes, praise him. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, we ought to praise him. First of all, we should praise the Lord, for his name means Jehovah is salvation. They came up from Jericho, about 19 miles from Jerusalem. We find that, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And so the setting is that he was in Jericho, and now he makes his way toward Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives is on the east of Jerusalem. He came to Bethphage and sent his disciples to Bethany. Bethphage and Bethany were close together. And he sent his disciples to get a young colt, a young donkey's colt. This is the town where Lazarus dwelt and was raised from the dead, and where Mary and Martha lived. The Mount of Olives is about 1 mile in length and about 700 feet high as it overlooks the city of Jerusalem. And so he comes on his way from Jericho, taking the road, one of the routes that would take him to the Mount of Olives, that he might also enter into the city of Jerusalem. I'll read some other accounts, not only this one in Luke, but I'll refer to John chapter 12 at this time concerning his triumphal entry, because each of them read just slightly different. John chapter 12, verse 12 through 15. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written. That's a particular phrase we ought to take note of, that he came just as it was written of him. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And I'll largely quote these extra verses out of the English Standard Version. "They cried unto the Lord, 'Hosanna! O save! Hosanna!' with exclamations of adoration unto Jesus." Of course, we find the prophet Zechariah was the one who gave that word of the Lord concerning the king that should come, and that he would be hailed as he was, and glory given to him. In Zechariah 9:9, it tells of that prophecy. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteousness and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I wonder how it is this morning with you folks. Do you often praise the Lord in the routine things of life? I think it is good that we should do that, don't you? When we come to many of the things that transpire in our lives, it is good to praise God. I remember a good Christian friend of mine used to say, "Praise God for eyes to see," whenever he came to a nice vista where he could overlook the mountains and the forest and the streams. And maybe you've been in such a setting before where you have perhaps been climbing a mountain and you reach the kind of the height of the mountain where you could have this great expanse of vision and you could see this, this beautiful scene of God's creation just broadened out before you. And perhaps you thought or said in your heart, praise God for such a view as this. Praise God. And sometimes, you know, people will say, well, this is God's country because they see of the majesty of creation and of the beauty of the created things around them. We ought to praise God. We ought to lift up our voice and praise Him for those things that do cause us to remember that God is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that Jesus Christ came by divine fulfillment, even of the prophet Zechariah, that He would come as He came, riding into Jerusalem on this young colt, this young donkey, which had never been ridden on before. And He would be hailed, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The angels, being a multitude, praised him when he was born. For salvation was of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 13 it says, And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, among those with whom he is pleased. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That last statement is reflected in Luke chapter 19 and verse 38. Not so much different than that the angels themselves gave praise to God in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14. And now in Luke chapter 19 and verse 38, we find such praises also being given for the Lord. We ought to praise God. We ought to thank Him. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The praises that we give to God are important because they reflect the heart that is thankful to God. And we ought to praise God. The psalmist also prophesied of that one who should come having salvation. Psalm 118, verses 21 to 26. Psalm 118, verse 21 to 26. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Similar phrases in this psalm as well. Offering praise unto the Lord. Speaking of salvation belonging to God. Saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Saying also that the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is Jesus. He is the one who became the head of the corner. That is, when one lays a foundation and the foundation stone is laid, that is the beginning of the foundation. That is the stone which becomes key to the whole foundation. It is the foundation stone. Consider the church of Jesus Christ. He laid the foundation in himself. He became the head of the corner, of the foundation. that great edifice that the Lord Jesus Christ is building in Himself, the Church of Jesus Christ, wherein Jesus Christ is that foundation, and there is none other foundation that is laid save Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let us remember Jesus, and let us praise His name. Secondly, we should praise the Lord because they rejoice, saying, "Blessed be the King." We should not only praise the Lord because His name is salvation. We should praise the Lord because they came offering praises of Him, saying that He is truly the King. Why did they call Him the King? Because He was of the line of David and of that promise that was to be fulfilled, that there would be one who would come that would sit upon the throne of David, and He would be called King. And so these blessings were cried out. They were given forth from a multitude of people who must speak the praises of God as He entered into the city of Jerusalem upon that fateful day. The crowd gave glory to Jesus, whom they called the Son of David, being of that kingly line. Let's read further here in Luke chapter 19, verse 29. "And it came to pass, when He was come to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, Go into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither, or to me. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him." Even the appointment of this colt was to be fulfilled. And that the disciples were to go over to Bethany, and they were to find this colt, and they were to untie the colt, and even as they were untying the colt, and they were to answer, "The Lord hath need of him." And by implication, it must be that this man who owned the colt was also a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, aforetime, had told him that He would come at some juncture and He would seek something from him. You know, when we think about offering praises to God, what does God seek from us? Has God made an appointment with you in your life because you call yourself a Christian, a disciple? Has God made an appointment? Will there not be a time when you will have to give of that which the Lord has required of you? Certain praises unto Him? We should not disappoint the Lord when the opportunity comes, and that He has said, "Offer praises unto me now." You may remember one particular point that He told His disciples, that after a period of time, they would have to take a script with them. They would have to take a cloak with them when they went out into the cities of Jerusalem and Judea. They would have to take even a sword with them. And if by any means that some of them at a time were called before magistrates or before rulers, or they were apprehended in some way, and they had to give an account of the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, don't be concerned about what you have to say. You will be, by divine appointment, given a word to say for me, and I will give it to you at that time. Is there a word of praise you need to give to the Lord at some particular time? Is there an appointment that God has made for you as you follow the Lord and walk with Him? Will He not require a word of praise in front of someone? Will he not also say to you and offer you that opportunity? Don't worry about what you're going to say at that moment. I will tell you what to say. I will give you the word of praise and glory for me. Only be faithful. As the disciples went over to Bethany and collected the young colt, they only had to say it was for the master. And the fellow who owned it, though he is not named, gave up the colt and said, "Take him. It is for the master." Remember that your appointment is for the master, to offer your praises up to God at that moment when he requires it, that he may be glorified. And so we find that the crowd gave glory to Jesus, whom they called the Son of David, being of that kingly line. In Matthew chapter 21, 8 through 11, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" Exclamation point. They were shouting it. They weren't simply just saying it quietly to themselves. No, they were shouting it. "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna to the Son of David!" They were crying out. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." They rejoiced, praising God. They blessed him as their king. They said, "He cometh in the name of the Lord." We've read John and Matthew. Mark also says something similar in Mark chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. "And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it," on the back of the colt, "that he might ride. And he sat on it, and many spread their cloaks on the road in front. And others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields, palm trees. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" Each one of those phrases having an exclamation mark behind that phrase. And they were crying out, "Hosannas unto the king that was coming into the city of Jerusalem." Did they know what they were doing? It was prophesied that they would do it. They must do it. Just as all prophecy must be fulfilled of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they truly knew him for who he said he was, we find out later. The same crowd cried, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Crucify him." But at this time, the crowd was crying hosannas because he must fulfill all prophecy concerning his coming into the city of Jerusalem. He must be praised, even as the prophet Zechariah said that he would be praised. Such are the praises that we owe to the Lord, for he is blessed of God, and he came forth from the Lord to bring us all things in Christ. And now to do the people praise, the people praised him, for he must be praised and he must glorify God. Another psalm reflects in similar ways, Psalm 148, verses 1 through 4, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Again, when you go out on a starry night and you look up into the heavens above, do you praise God for His created stars? And they shine like diamonds in the night. And you may see one shooting across in front of your vision up in the starry night. And God placed them there. And they do give praise unto God. Though they are created things, yet they praise God. Shouldn't we, who are created in His image and likeness, also praise Him? Shouldn't we keep the praises of God upon our lips too? That we might praise Him genuinely for who He is, the Son of God. And so the psalmist said that all creation should praise the Lord. Thirdly, we should praise the Lord because He is Lord, our Master and supreme authority. Now in this we recognize that Jesus is that one who was promised to come. Jesus' name means salvation. That Jesus is to be praised because He came as that King of the line of David, the Messiah of God. But Jesus, it comes with divine authority. Remember, He told His disciples at one particular juncture, He says, "All authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go ye into all the world." And He sent them out that they might go and they might tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we find that the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is also in that name, given that He is our Savior, given that He is our true King, given that He is that one who came by the very authority of God. And Luke chapter 19, verse 39, "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." You see, some of the Pharisees were among the crowd. They were there among the crowd. They were not only those that were praising God, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." They were these Pharisees there as well, religious rulers, who objected and wanted Jesus to rebuke the disciples for their praising Him. And so they wanted to censure. They wanted to rebuke. They wanted to straightly charge these disciples not to do as they were doing. And so the implication is that these Pharisees were among the crowd. Isn't it interesting that there are always religious rulers among the crowd, among the multitude of disciples? Among the people, you might say, in the church even sometimes. There are Pharisees in the churches. And they'll say, "Why are you saying praise God all the time? What is that? You're some kind of religious fanatic or something." Oh, I know, people like you and I in New England, we're a little bit more reserved, conservative, if you will. You know, we tend to not want to be so emotional. But it's good once in a while to praise God, isn't it? Yeah. And we don't need some Pharisee telling us not to do it. It isn't irreligious or something that we say praise God. It won't crack our faces. It won't break tradition in the church. It won't cause us, you know, to be extremists or anything, occultic, if we say praise God. But I think the Pharisees were somewhat worried that things are going to get out of hand. You know, and sometimes in churches I think we're like that too. We think, "Oh well, if anybody says praise God, well, something's going to get out of hand. If they do something like that and become truly emotional, well, I really don't mind if you praise God. if you want to say that. Come out with a praise God anytime and say amen once in a while. It'd be good. It's like throwing the dog a bone to the preacher, you know. And so it is, the religious are always threatened by those who truly labor for the Lord. For they know not the Lord of glory. You see, the Pharisees did not know the Lord of glory. They were not the disciples of Christ. But bolder spirits will praise God in spite of the religious doubters. And so it's okay if you praise God. Because you can be a bold spirit for the Lord. Not only in church, but outside the church too. And so praise God when you can. The Pharisees were afraid of Jesus, but they knew not what they did. This is an interesting passage in John chapter 11, 48 to 53. You may want to turn there. John chapter 11, 48 to 53. If we let him go on like this, referring to Jesus and the Pharisees, of course, speaking, everyone will believe him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also to gather in one the children of God who are scattered abroad. From that day on, they made plans to put him to death. But the Pharisees didn't know what they were saying. Isn't it interesting that God fulfills his word even from those who don't know what they are saying and do not even believe in Jesus? Oh, and such were the praises that came out that day by the multitude. They were offering praises up to God in the fulfillment of the very word of God, and they did not know the significance of what they were saying. Let us praise God knowing the significance of what we are saying. That he is truly our Lord and Master. That he is truly that one of great authority in our lives and over the church of Jesus Christ. Because he is Savior. He is the coming King. And he is the one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. He is our Lord and Master. And so as we read here in Luke 19:40, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Robinson's New Testament word pictures says this, that the phrase, "the stones would immediately cry out," is probably a proverbial saying. He, along with several other well-known commentators and expositors, equate this to a saying that was necessary to give great implication that the words of the multitude must be spoken. In other words, it was an impossibility that they would not cry out. Because it's like saying, well, even the rocks along beside the road will cry out if the multitude won't, but they will. Because it's an impossibility that they won't cry out. Why? Because of the fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus came to fulfill all Scripture. And so it must needs be that the multitude cry out. Even though they did not know the full significance of what they were saying. Just as it was true that the Pharisees would say things about Jesus and they did not know the significance of what they were saying. A similar proverb line is found in Habakkuk 2:11. For the stones will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the woodwork respond. Similar proverbial saying. In other words, it emphatically says that something is going to happen, and it must happen. I'd like to suggest to you that we ought to consider the praises of God more seriously in our lives and make it a matter of honor to God that we offer praises up to Him and give glory to Him. Because if we are true disciples, we must speak the praises of God. We must glorify Him. It is one of the tenets of the Westminster Confession of Faith that long ago was written down, that the highest goal of the church and of the true believer is to praise and glorify God. The highest goal. If we can do nothing else, let us praise God. Let us glorify Him. Because that's one of the highest goals that we have. He is our Lord and our Master. We should also remember that God does not have such ability, or He does have such ability, that He could animate dumb objects. Well, He did animate Balaam's donkey, didn't He? A donkey doesn't normally speak, but we find that God did make Balaam's donkey speak. Well, so if He wanted to make a rock cry out, I suppose He could do that too, right? But it was a proverbial statement to impress upon the Pharisees that the multitude must do it. They must do it. And if they will not, then God will find another way to accomplish His purpose. But it must happen. Let the stones cry out. Actually, the word here or phrase, crying out, or especially the word out in that phrase, has to do with really to croak, in a sense, or scream, or shriek, or exclaim with great entreaty. That's the various meanings of it according to the Strong's dictionary on the Greek word phrase in crying out. Have you ever been in the forest, and maybe some of you men have been hunting, and just when you're getting ready to do some serious hunting, a bunch of blue jays come along and start screeching because you happen to be in the forest where they are. Or maybe you've been out in the forest or a field, and some crows were in the field somewhere, and you kind of disturbed them, and they started crowing and screeching, and they fly up and go off. It's very difficult to get too near a crow. It's almost impossible. They just seem to have good eyesight, and they make such a noise anyway. And then the raven, of course, makes a very strong cry as well. Well, that sense of that screech or that cry, that strong vociferous sound which is made like that, is what is implied here in this word, that lest the stones cry out. The multitude must cry out. If the multitude won't cry out, the stones are going to cry out. But the multitude did cry out. And they gave their hosannas, and they gave their cries of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They had seen the miracles. They had seen the living Christ and all of his glory and what he had done over and over again. And they cried loud hosanna. In entering the city this last time, that if the praise be not offered to God by the multitude, it would be wrung out of the rocks. I would hope that we might be a little bit more affable and willing to offer our praises to God. I would hope that we wouldn't be quite so stony in heart and closed mouth as not to offer our praises to God. And so let us praise Him. For the multitude praised Him, and they praised Him because it was prophesied that they would do so, and they must do it. And as He came into Jerusalem, even as Zechariah said that He would come, riding upon the colt, the foal of a donkey, came into the city just as it was prophesied He would come. A multitude of people praising God and blessing His name and saying hosannas, crying out, shrieking, if you will. Perhaps it's like a football game, you know, like they do today. Doesn't seem to be any problem with people shouting at a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game. Let us be just as enthusiastic about giving God praise. And so it is, the stones must praise Him. And we must praise Him too. And so in closing, we'll just make this summary. His name means Jehovah is salvation. His name is salvation. We should praise Him because of that. He is blessed by God, saying, blessed be the King of Israel. That is, He was received as the true Messiah of God, the true anointed of God. We should bless His name because He is the true Messiah and the true anointed of God. And then lastly, He is our Lord and Master, worthy of our praise. Because He is our Lord and our Master, we ought to praise Him and give glory unto Him, who is our true Lord and Savior. Let us pray together. Loving Father, we thank You for Your word to us today and for these thoughts, and pray Your Holy Spirit just to impress them upon us. And may we be much more responsive, Lord, when it comes to our opportunities of praise, those times appointed for us to speak. May we be willing to exclaim and to give thanks to God and to offer our praises and to glorify You. And may we remember also, Lord, that these offered their praises because it was the Lord of glory who had come before them. In Jesus' name, amen.